Welcome to Inside Analog Photo. I'm your host, Scott Shepard. The Inside Analog Photo radio program is all about the traditional photographic process. We talk about all aspects of analog photography, including the hybrid workflow. You can find out more information over at www.insideanalogphoto.com. And of course, Inside Analog Photo is brought to you by Fujifilm, making life more colorful. These guys have the coolest instant photography materials known to mankind. They have, of course, the pack film in 3.25 by 4.25 and 4x5, color and black and white. They have the Instax systems in the wide format, the Instax 210 camera and film, and of course, the Instax Mini in the Instax Mini 7 and the Instax Mini 25, both in color film. Beautiful stuff. There's nothing cooler than instant photography. You get a print, because if you don't have a print, you don't have a real photograph. This is great fun stuff. This is great for art. This is great for business. This is cool stuff. You definitely want to check them out over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional, making life more colorful. Our friends over at Photo Publicist, providing worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development for the photographer, turning photographers into celebrities. You can find out more information over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the highest quality work known to mankind anywhere on this planet. Unbelievable developing, scanning, and of course, output on high quality Fuji Crystal Archive. Unbelievable cool stuff these guys are up to. And remember, you don't have a photograph unless you have a print in your hand, and you need to print your pictures. This is important. You need to supply proof to your customers and even print your own work, because it's not about looking at it on a monitor. It's about holding a print in your hand. Definitely check these guys out at Richard Photo Lab, of course, at richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5, DR5 Chrome Black and White Developing, that turns your black and white neg into, that's right, black and white chrome. Unbelievable stuff. www.dr5.com. Our friends over at Upstrap at upstrap-pro.com for the camera strap that will not slip off your shoulder, guaranteed bar none, the coolest strap around. Our friends at Iger Studios for the finest quality drum scans known to mankind, igerstudios.com. Our official media partner, APUG, the Analog Photography User Group, for all things traditional photographic process on the web, www.apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House International Museum of Photography and Film, over at www.eastmanhouse.org. On today's Inside Analog Photo radio program, we're going to have with us Dustin Todd. Dustin is a wedding and portrait photographer doing a lot of beautiful, great work out of the Salt Lake City area of Utah. Just amazing use of film, beautiful photography, and you got to check it out. Really cool stuff, and he's going to be a great, great chat today. Dustin, how's it going today?
I'm doing great, Scott. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for joining us here on Inside Analog Photography. Great to have you on the program today to feature your work, your photography, your use of film. Just beautiful stuff you're up to here, buddy.
Yeah, it's a great thing you're doing. I've listened to a number of people you've spoken with, so I'm glad to be part of the group.
Yeah, no, it's very cool. So, Dustin, let's chat about yourself. Tell people what you do.
I started in this business as a wedding photographer, and still am a wedding photographer. Weddings have been incredible for me. They've treated me really well, and so I'll continue to do weddings. I like to consider myself an artist, and I don't like to come across pretentious in saying that, and it's horrible if it does. But I think in the bigger picture of things, whether you're a musician, whether you're a photographer, whether you're making pottery on a wheel, whatever, bottom line is we're all creative. We are all artists. And so I actually never would say I'm a wedding photographer. In fact, I consider myself an artist. And the camera is my tool to communicate what I think, what I feel. So that's usually my response, is I just consider myself an artist. But yeah, I use the camera as a method to communicate my art, whether it's weddings or whether it's portraiture, whether it's personal explorations of just simple, random, ordinary day objects. It's all about communication. It's about what I see, what I feel, and what I want to show with the public.
No, I love that. Great answer. I like it that you consider I'm an artist, and it doesn't matter what I shoot. I don't care if I'm shooting shopping carts out in the supermarket or a bridal.
I was shooting that yesterday, in fact.
Cool. So tell me how you got into photography. What got the bug that laid in the dust and said, I want to be an artist. I want to use photography. I want to write with light. What brought you into this whole gig?
I have always been saturated in art in one way or another. I remember even being a kid in kindergarten and the teacher going around the classroom asking the students what they wanted to be. And at a very young age, I was told I wanted to be an artist. And I went through elementary kind of latching on to cartoons and things like that. And I wanted to be a cartoon comic strip artist. And as I grew up and went through junior high and high school, that cartoon type artwork started to become a little bit more sophisticated as I started to use more oil paints and things like that. So I hadn't really ever had much of a camera influence through the growing years, if you want to call it. I did do some photography classes in high school, but never really took it seriously. And after high school, as everybody has their story in life, I went through my own funky things, and I found that art became such an incredible method of therapy, if you want to call it. I had family problems and things like that, and dealing with a lot of heavy stuff. Some guys like to go to the gym and get that adrenaline out. Instead, I would race to a sketchbook, and 15-something years later, I can still look at those sketches, remember those moments, and I was able to leave those moments on the table, and it really helped me kind of grow up and deal with these things. But also, I knew that these were emotional waves, that all my work, everything was relying on some kind of emotional wave, whether it was love, whether it was anger, whether it was joy, I don't know. And I knew deep down inside that I could never really do a career of that. One, just because my style of drawing, painting, sculpting, whatever, I knew really probably wouldn't click with the public, and it was just an ultimate truth I knew. But two was, I didn't ever want to have to sit there and force myself some type of emotion to come out. So here I am going, what am I going to do? If I want to be creative, what am I going to do? Simply, it was just kind of a thought, just try a camera, just pick it up. I love working with people. I'm very social. I was never a good employee because I was always getting barked at by the boss to quit talking because I just loved social interaction. And so I thought maybe I can take that artistic background, push it into a camera, and work with people. And immediately I saw what photography had to offer. It consumed me. And now I have to say it's unfortunate, but I don't do any of the traditional arts at all anymore. And I'm heavily, heavily involved in photography. Obviously, it's created the career that I have now. I've been to galleries and things like that, and I used to love Picasso, still do like Picasso, but I'm more moved by some of the photographs that are framed. I've seen iconic photographs. I sit there, and I'm more emotionally stirred by photographs now than painting, so it's kind of interesting. So that's kind of my background. That's what got me into it, and I love it.
Tell me about your use of film. You used to shoot digital. Did you start shooting digital when you started photography? Did you shoot film and then go to digital and go back? Tell me about your transition on your preferred means of capture.
Yeah, through my local college, I'm a proud associate's degree, the official term, visual art and design with an emphasis in photography. And I say that jokingly. I think an associate's doesn't hold up water anymore these days, but they have an incredible program. So a Salt Lake Community program, there was a lot of emphasis on film and a lot of darkroom techniques. They probably had two Mac computers when I was going through the program and a handful of PCs. This is right around 2001 or so. Almost 10 years later, they have a whole lab of Macs, probably a dozen or more, and they've kind of adapted to the growth of digital. But I'm just saying this because when I was going through the program, a lot of emphasis was on film. So I never started out shooting digital. I've always been a film junkie, if you want to call it that. And that's really where college taught me all the qualities of film. You learn all the different properties of film, all the different characteristics, all the different flavors, if you want to call it. And it's where you get to learn to experiment and play around with it and have fun with it. After college is when I started to see a ton of people taking all their film cameras that they've invested thousands upon thousands of dollars in and start putting them on the shelf or selling them. And literally, every direction I looked, people were doing this. My Hasselblad, I love, absolutely love my Hasselblad. And I was at that point just sitting there, holding it in my lap going, am I going to do what everyone else is doing and just cash in and put it on the shelf and try digital? And it was a sickening feeling in my stomach that I couldn't do that. However, I did get a D70. It's a toy digital Nikon. And I started shooting some of the events with the digital camera, and I was never satisfied with it. I shot for 6 months to a year about on digital. So I'd be shooting my Hasselblad film so I could get the medium format look that I wanted. And I'd shoot the quick grab type stuff, 35 millimeter format. I was shooting on digital, so I was kind of trying to do both. And bottom line was the digital DSLR. It was just always noisy, the actual images. Physically shooting with the digital camera, I was always having to worry about lens crop factor. I hated that. If you walk into a room and you 5 feet away from the bride, that's when you feel like that's where your distance is and you put your camera to your eye. And then because of the digital camera and the lens crop factor, I'd have to jump back another 3, 4, 5 feet, and I'd lose any control that I then had with my subject. people would be walking past me, in front of me, and things like that. And so I was ready to throw the camera just because of physically shooting with it. So no, I've never really embraced digital. I've always been film photographer. So I went back to it. I got a Nikon F5, and it's a relief. And I learned quickly that just because everyone else is cashing in doesn't mean that I need to follow the trend. And it's just funny, speaking of trends, how fickle public is. When I'm shooting 100% film weddings in 05, and everyone else is cashing in their stuff for digital cameras, people attending the wedding would go, oh, so-and-so's, you're still shooting film, huh? And come 3-4 years later after that, people started to respect them. They're like, wow, you really know what you're doing. You don't shoot digital. And so this kind of shows how fickle the public is and how little I should really listen to that and just go with my gut and go with my heart.
So let's chat about your choosing the Hasselblad, and then you have the F5. So tell me your thoughts on your composition and what you're trying to do artistically with the square format versus the rectangular aspect ratio of the 35.
Out of any decision I've ever made in my life, one of the best purchases I have ever made is my Hasselblad. It's funny because I research a lot of stuff to death when I'm buying equipment. It's an investment, and so I try to find what's the greatest tool to help me further my artillery. And the Hasselblad, for whatever reason, I picked it up. I didn't know what the zone system was. I didn't know how to properly meter any of that. But I picked up the camera, looked through it, and there was an immediate connection with it. And I knew, without a doubt, for whatever reason, that was my camera. It just immediately communicated with me, and I didn't care how much it cost, I was going to have that camera. And so it was just quite an interesting thing in my life that something that broke to me so quickly has treated me so well. So anyways, about the Hasselblad, I've always felt that I compose stronger with a square format than I do with rectangular. It's just very natural to me. I don't have to worry about vertical or horizontal. Everything's just square, and the compositions just come really natural to me. And I think that element speaks really strongly in my work. You can see a lot of influence of composition and balance of basically the simple elements and rules of design. And for whatever reason, I'm very effective in working with a square format. As for 35mm, the nice thing about a 35mm, as we all know, it's incredibly responsive. It's very fast. I think that's why it was developed, rather than sheet film one frame at a time, developed to be able to fit series out quickly. And so it's an incredible tool to be able to capture those fast, spontaneous moments, whether it's dancing, whether it's bouquets being thrown, whether it's people moving, coming towards you down an aisle or whatever. Really what it boils down to is every piece of equipment that I have is that it has its own function in telling the story. You're going to be able to tell portraits better. In my opinion, I tell portraits better through medium format. But trying to photograph a bouquet up in the air through medium format is incredibly difficult. So it just really kind of depends on what element within the story I need to work with.
Tell me about these directions that you're moving in here. So, of course, you're doing some beautiful weddings, family portraits, you're shooting kids, you're shooting a lot of conceptual things. Where do you want to move with your photography going forward? I know we chatted earlier that you want to take things in different directions and expand your art. Tell me your thoughts on what you're looking to do moving forward.
When I started to get really seriously involved with the wedding scene, I approached it because it was such a creative challenge. I saw this environment that typically is a plastic environment. You know, it was very traditional. And I thought, this is a great opportunity for me to be able to kind of push the doors open and say, this is another way to look at a wedding. And I know that there's people out there that want that story to be told that way. And so that's why I started shooting weddings. And I quickly learned that people loved it. It was received really well, and it only encouraged me to push it harder and challenge myself more and more and try and think further and further outside that box. What else can I do to speak and tell a story? But at the same time, this has been going on for a number of years, and I'm feeling that currently I've kind of hit a ceiling on the creative aspect within the wedding environment. And if I continue to push this funkiness and this quirkiness or this weirdness, that I'm going to be missing my market altogether. There was one image that I shot in particular where there's a couple seated in this very ornate room, kind of a green room with flowers and all that stuff. But I shot it with a long exposure, and I had them move their faces while I'm exposing. So they look blurred. And that image alone kind of jumped out at me that, Dustin, this isn't a wedding market image. And it looks cool in its own right, but for the most part, for the 99% of consumers, they don't see themselves with a wedding that way. So just in the business side of things, why would I want to scale all my attention down to just 1%? It's hard to cater all of your efforts to 1%. And so that's why I thought, okay, it's time to start going more into a commercial route where I can be more expressive in a different way, conceptualize more, I'm more of a slower photographer, and I think that's a big reason why I shoot film, too, is it allows me to slow down, process the scene, and really kind of tinker it over and then take the frame, rather than just rapid fire and hoping that I get something. But as we know, weddings are never slow events, unless you have an opportunity to sit down with the bride and groom and take some nice portraits and things, and even then it's really limited to your time frame. And so I've always known, like, my engagements, my bridals, that's where I feel that I thrive. That's where I'm able to really connect with a person and tell a story about them. They bring to the table who they are, and me with my style and my vision, I'm able to complement that and make something neat out of it. So that's where I want to start pushing more into that direction, being able to pre-visualize, sit down with an advertiser, sit down with an ad campaign, and get a dialogue going about this is who we are, this is what we want, and really have a strong concept involved and then execute that. I haven't ever been involved in that environment, but I know that I could do very well with that. I'm actually working on personal projects right now. In fact, I've shot 6 models already. I'm shooting 2 more next week. But I'm trying to really just push another conceptual thought and catch another wave. Weddings has been awesome with me. It's treated me really well. And I'll continue to put into it what it's given back. But at the same time, I want to open up other doors and see where that takes me as well.
So, Dustin, tell me your thoughts on how shooting weddings has been able to help your style of photography and maybe your thought process on composing on the fly, on your feet. When you shoot weddings, I'm not going to relate it to James Nockway and shooting war stuff, but consequently, it's a lot more stressful and much different than people think that don't shoot weddings. So a lot of people look at wedding photographers and go, oh, you're a wedding photographer. But I think that situation actually is quite unique, and I think that it helps photographers mold what they're going to be or what they're doing.
Yeah, and I love that reference. That, by far, is one of the most emotionally stirring things I've ever seen through the viewpoint of the camera. And I walked away from watching that movie, James Nockway, War Photographer, thinking, gosh, I would love the opportunity to be able to tell a story on such an emotional scale. And I thought, gosh, he's so fortunate to be able to help other people through his imagery and things like that. And then I kind of hit the brakes and realized, wait a second, that's exactly what I'm doing, but on a completely different scale. Instead of photographing the suffering and things like that, instead I'm photographing happiness and people coming together in relationships and joy. So bottom line, whether it's war or whether it's weddings, it is an event and it's emotions, and it's my job to be able to tell that story. So yeah, I'd rather shoot weddings. But your question, I think the reason why weddings are so effective in helping me establish my style more and more is because of the fact of the repetition involved. The fact that there's always a bride, and for almost, I would say, 99% of the time, the bride's going to be wearing some kind of a white dress or off-white. And what I'm trying to say is it doesn't vary too much. Weddings are typically always in the same mold. You always have your details. You always have your bride, your groom. You get what I'm saying. And so because of that repetition, it allows me to be able to continually refine, continually hone in. I'm able to just mentally catalog what was successful in the past. When I stood here at this exact area when the bride was tossing the bouquet, or when I photographed the bride separated from the groom for a portrait, or whatever the case may be, cataloging these successful moments, you know that they're going to work again. And so that's been really effective. And by no means am I saying that I shoot the same thing every single time. I've always tried to tell myself, be fresh, be open for inspiration, because every couple is different, and it would be an incredible disservice to try and just mimic the same thing every single time. But just as far as composition, style, I don't know if weddings necessarily have influenced that. I actually don't think that they have. I think that's just kind of a part of me. But the fact that shooting weddings is a repeated event that I can continually polish up myself, that's where the strength in shooting repeated events helps significantly in your work.
And how do you keep from getting burned out on shooting these repetitive events?
Well, that's a good question. I've listened to a number of your other commentaries and whatnot, and it sounds like we're all in agreement. The photographers that are really busy have to just balance themselves. It's about balancing your life and knowing when to say enough and not burn yourself out, to always stay fresh and open. And kind of like what I was saying in your last question was, don't do the disservice of just shooting the same thing all the time. Sure, there's those great shots, and you know they're always going to be effective, but continually push yourself, always be creative and open to interpreting the scene in a different way. One thing that I like about, I always refer to this, but Edward Weston's bell pepper. And I don't know whoever made the comment, but they said, you haven't photographed a bell pepper until you have, or something along those lines. And it's kind of the same thing. It's like, how many different ways can you photograph a wedding cake? How many different directions? How many different ways can you tell that story? So I think that's just the key thing, to always seeing new eyes and going to an event with excitement and challenging yourself. I really take these weddings personally because I feel like I'm putting my heart out there, and I want to walk away from an event knowing that I did all that I absolutely could to the best of my ability to tell that story for that couple, for them. And so I guess that's another major motivating factor to never allow myself to burn up, to be able to know that when I leave an event that I did all that I possibly could and then some to take care of my client.
Well, I think that's the key point you just hit on, is even though almost every wedding's the same, I mean, they're all a little different, but they're all really the same. But this is a unique event for the people that you're working for. So I think if you treat each thing as a unique deal and you're really trying to document this for them, for history and for themselves and their family, each gig turns into a pretty big responsibility. You need to push yourself just to do the best you can at every gig and push yourself to do better, make better shots, try different angles. You're going to do two things. Is A, you're going to extend yourself as a better photographer, but you're going to do even a better job for your client.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about film. What kind of film do you like shooting with? What are you digging for your favorite emulsion? What do you like?
I kind of fell into the Kodak family, and I really can't answer why that happened, but I've really liked the portrait series, the VC, the NC. I shoot almost everything on the C41 process, so almost everything's color negative. When I want to add a little bit of novelty, if you want to call it, I'll shoot 3200 speeds, grain, love the grain. I'll cross-process Provia so that it stays in that C41 family that, again, is that novelty that trips out the color a little bit and things like that. I used to shoot my weddings with all the Delta, the Ilford. When I used to print black and whites and things like that, I loved Ilford film and Ilford paper. But a lot of the scanning, for whatever reason, the machines aren't able to scan as cleanly like the dust and scratches with black and white film. And so that was a big reason why I just started shooting that C41 black and white. And I kind of like Kodak's. I think it's 400CN or something like that. I like their C41 better than Ilford's XP2 for whatever reason. I just feel like the XP2 always falls kind of flat. So I've chosen film to capture it how I want it to be captured. But also another part that's influenced that is the aftermath and working with the files. Do I want to have to worry about dusting and spotting and all that junk on the computer? Or does the C41 black and white take care of that just as good for me? I get the image that I want and then minimize my time on the computer. Actually, I down in Southern Utah just last weekend shooting a landscape, which I hardly ever do. And this particular situation discouraged me because I arrived at the scene of this very iconic arch. Not delicate, but another arch, and there was probably a dozen or more photographers sitting there, and I just lost any spirit that was part of that moment because I felt like I was just another ant on the hill, and I didn't have that connection with the scenery. It was kind of unfortunate. However, the film that I got back, the Velvia, is just incredible, and I thought, I should start grabbing this stuff more and start exploring the properties of positive film more and stuff. So that's kind of what I put in my bag, basically.
Do you like shooting chrome? Or is this something you just started to been playing with here, shooting some transparency?
Definitely. I've always loved transparency. Through college, they really, really tried to encourage more transparency. I don't know if it's just because of the class environment and looking through transparency on the light table or what. But I mean, there's nothing that can compare to the actual plastic looking through transparency. I mean, just the saturation and the colors, and it's just incredible. Anybody that has ever shot it knows exactly what I'm talking about. Again, anybody who's ever shot it also knows how unforgiving it can be at times. And so shooting a wedding and things like that, I kind of, for whatever reason, kind of stopped shooting the transparency. This recent experience opened my eyes to say, hey, there's a reason why it's out there, and start pushing it again.
So, Dustin, tell me about your workflow. So you shoot film, and what happens then? Where does it go? What do you do?
I've got a fantastic local lab here. It's Nichols Photo Lab, and they've taken incredibly good care of me. You know, just the customer service alone has encouraged me to stay with them. I don't have to do any runs there. They pick up my film, they drop it off. They have certain individuals that work directly with me, and basically they just have gone above and beyond to take care of me in any regard, whether it's the delivery of my products or the quality of my product. But the process involves, I'll shoot whatever event I have, put it in a bag for them to come pick up. They take it to lab. They know exactly what I want. They have a certain individual there that will analyze and color correct my film to my likings. I've had to go through a trial and error with them a number of times throughout the history of working with them. But we got it to a point where it's like, okay, this is exactly what I want, and they know how to deliver that. But they do the traditional dip and dunk method, the processing, the scanners, the Kodak HR 500, and they're pumping out somewhere between 15 to 20 meg scans of every image I shoot. So they'll burn those two discs and deliver all my negs with the disc. I'll take them, throw them in my computer, and spend seconds just further popping the disc each image needs. If the blacks need just a little more punch, if there's maybe too much cyan in image, if there's too much red, you know, remove that. It's just relieving to know that I don't have to spend a ridiculous amount of time worrying about these images. These are just very minor changes in my editing process. Then so I'll electronically send those images back to the lab for proofing, and I'll spit out the proofs of everything. And that's one thing that I've always really liked giving my clients is the actual proof prints of pretty much every single picture that I shoot. You know, I think that because of the digital age, the value of presentation has unfortunately been a loss. We hear of a lot of photographers just saying, I'll just give you a disc, and we've lost the art, the presentation of the actual traditional print. And so I kick all my clients, all the proofs, and as far as coverages and how I price things out, it's very, very simple. They choose how many hours of coverage they want. They're given a certain amount of credit that they are able to basically shop around and get whatever product they want. So my main thing is to shoot however many hours they've booked me for, provide that creative story that they want, and then leave it up to them as far as what product they want to walk away with, whether it's a fine art album or if it's pictures to be put on a wall. I have different processes for what types of paper. I've actually worked with a lab in creating a mimic Ilford fiber paper. As I said earlier, I loved Ilford fiber paper when I was in the darkroom, and they were able to get pretty close to the same look with my black and whites. I guess it's Endura VC paper, and they spray it with a matte finish. It kind of tones it down a little bit and gets that charcoal black feel that I absolutely love. They've also created distinct tools. I don't want to say actions and things like that, but all I have to say is I want these black and whites to be warm. And they gave me a list of different examples of what they considered was warm, and I said I like number 3, and now everything is exactly that. So it's like they've clearly met my look of what I want. And so they removed a lot of me having to worry about that stuff. So now I can just focus on the creative and speaking from the camera rather than having to worry about all the science and all that.
No, that's great. So let's talk about your photography moving forward. What are you going to work on more that's different than what you've been shooting? What are you going to do to be able to keep things fresh and to be able to work yourself more into an editorial / commercial position? What do you think that's going to actually help that?
That's a great question, and it's something I've worked on recently. In fact, I'm going to go into a dark direction about this, but there's a subject that when I was going through college kind of popped up in my mind. And if I can explain, we were sitting in class one day, and the teacher was encouraging us to have stimulant thought about portraiture. It's only a two-dimensional photograph. How much can you really tell of somebody? How much of a life can you really convey? And many of us students are saying, I think you can say pretty much everything about a person through a photograph. And my nature is always to kind of run off into opposite land. When I'm ever with a group and we're all kind of talking about the same thing, I always like to think, okay, what's the opposite of that? And so this is something that I thought about years ago, and it's something that I've always wanted to do. But what it is basically the absence of life in a portrait, obviously opposite of a wedding. But weddings is all about emotion and about love and joy. So it's been really fun and challenging for me to recently buckle down and say, you know what, this is something that I've wanted to do and I'm going to do it. I've shot 6 different models recently. I have 2 more this coming week, and I'm going to continue shooting this until I feel satisfied with this project. But where it started out is just being kind of a self-discovery, kind of shooting for myself. We're in the spring season right now, and it really kind of started as the drab winter ended. I was like, I need to get out and start shooting more. And so that's when I just started shooting these death portraits. That's what I call them, by the way, death portraits. It's exciting because it's such a challenge to be able to strip somebody of that emotion or that connection. Also, if I can explain, I'm not focusing by any means on explaining how this person died. There's no crime scene, there's no wounds, there's no blood or anything like that. And it's more sort of a study of the life or the lack of life through the eyes. And I've experienced death in my own life. Actually, when I was 16, my mother passed away. And doing this project has made me realize how this is actually, in a way, a subconscious kind of speaking out of me. I don't know how often other speakers with you get personal about this, but there was a moment when my mom passed away, and I walked up to her bedside in the hospital, and I touched her. I felt a shell of a person, and it's something that's always haunted me. it's one of those things that we felt obligated to do because people do that or whatever, but it was something that felt so unnatural to me. So this project, in a way, has kind of allowed me to re-experience that and kind of re-communicate what I felt and think about what is really expressed of a person or to connect and not connect. I think it's just a fascinating thing. But where I'm going with this, I've also learned that this can be an incredible opportunity to use as a mock ad campaign and contact people and say, this is exactly who I am. This is what I'm about. And they can see consistency with my work as I photograph these same subjects in the same manner repeatedly. To add a little bit of quirkiness to it, I've introduced an object that I'm not going to share right now. I'd rather wait until I can have work to show. But it's just a random object that just adds another little quirkiness, a little weirdness. And rather than jumping out and answering questions for people, instead I want them to be intrigued and start forming their own questions. Like, I love movies that are open-ended. I always like a movie better when I can tie the strings together and make up my own conclusion. And that's what I want to do with this project, is let other people interpret what they want to it. I don't want to come across saying that this is all seriousness and it's all very heavy and dark and anything like that. In fact, some of it's kind of silly, and that's fine too. That's who I am as well. So it's been an incredible project, and I'm really excited to see what I can do with that.
No, that is really cool. So, Dustin, tell me where people can find out about your work, look at your great photography, check out your blog, and just see what you're doing.
Simple is DustinTodd.com. Spell my name, DustinTodd. I've got a blog as well where I'm constantly posting my current shoots, things like that. And that is DustinTodd.com/blog. You can also see another direction of where I'm wanting to take a lot of my work is DustinTodd.com/portfolio. And that shows a great deal of more of the conceptual type photography that I'd like to start stepping more into, advertising, commercial, and editorial. I feel like I've got such a good body of work and experience working with couples, but I'd like to start exploring more the individual and see how that can challenge me. And so that portfolio link shows more of that in some ways. And I think that's about it, though. I mean, I've been published, featured on blogs, magazines, things like that.
No, the work's great, and I do really appreciate you joining us today to give us a little insight of what you're doing, your outlook on the photography, and how you're always changing and evolving and moving in different directions to keep things fresh and to continue your love for photography. This is great stuff, buddy.
Thanks so much, and I think that that's really important, and I'm glad you noticed that. That I've always thought that this is a wave that I'm on, and I'll continue writing it until I feel like it's time to catch something else. And I think that's part of an artist. You do adapt and you do evolve. And so I'm excited to see where we're going with that.
Yeah, no, that's great. And I do appreciate you joining us. And we look forward to chatting again very soon.
Thanks so much. I've appreciated your time.
Well, there you go. Dustin Todd, what a cool guy. Beautiful photography. Great inspiration. Definitely check out his work, of course, at his website at www.dustintodd. That's DustinTodd.com. The Inside Analog Photo radio program has been brought to you by Fujifilm for their full line of instant cameras and film, and of course, fine quality Fuji Crystal Archive paper over at www.fujifilmusa.com/professional. Our friends at Photo Publicist, worldwide publicity, strategic promotion, social media marketing, and business development over at www.photopublicist.com. Our friends at Richard Photo Lab for the finest quality lab in the country, richardphotolab.com. Our friends over at DR5 for black and white chrome at dr5.com. Upstrap for the finest quality camera strap that will not slide off your shoulder at upstrap-pro.com. Our friends over at Iger Studios at igerstudios.com. And of course, our media partners of the Analog Photography User Group at apug.org. And our official philanthropic partner, George Eastman House, over at eastmanhouse.org. I've been your host, Scott Shepard, here on Inside Analog Photo. We'll be back next week with more great analog photography.